I miss that place though. Especially
Hello,
the
everybody. This is Michael Jacob with Unleashing Intuition Secrets, joined by Scott Bennett. We're going to destroy and slay Democrats. And you're fresh up out of Moscow. You know, you got the background of a army psychological intelligence officer, and you keep going back there, and they keep giving you information. You keep playing around with them. What are you getting out of these guys, or what are you telling them?
Well, we're just telling the same truth that you and I discuss and Tucker discusses and Colonel McGregor discusses and Major Scott Ritter discusses and Larry Johnson and Ray McGovern and everyone else who has any sanity and deals with the truth regarding the American Republic, the overthrow of Donald Trump, the coup d'etat, and the resulting hijacked ship of fools that has ridden into Washington, D.C., claiming authority based on a lanyard and falsified documents and a falsified election behind the drama and theatrical spectacle of a January 6th event, which had Ukrainian mercenaries involved. So telling them all about that and saying that there are Americans that are not brainwashed to the point of idiocy, who want to put swastikas on their armbands and raise the salute to Ukraine or Zelensky and engage in another episode of World War II against the Russians. The majority of the American people don't want that, don't like that, don't agree with that. So they had me over there for a film debut on the film that we did in November that I was quiet about. It was a documentary on RT, An American Officer in Donbass, where I was the first American officer to actually walk through the front lines of Soledar, Gorlovka, Donetsk, Mariupol, and see firsthand what the HIMARS and the drones and the cluster bombs were doing to kindergarten, schools, old folks' homes. I mean, civilian targets, not military targets, civilian targets. And as a result of seeing that, you know, it changes you. So we are committing and aiding and abetting war crimes and crimes against humanity, because that's what you're doing when you kill little children and old people and such. So I went over to document that. They made a film about it. They played it in Russia, and I did a lot of different interviews about it. So, you know, this isn't in any way detrimental to the United States. I think it's absolutely liberating to the United States. It shows the people of Russia, the media of Russia, the government of Russia, that they have sane representatives who are not afraid of Russian or Russia people, and that are coming over to tell the truth. And I think we have a destiny to be far more friendly and allied with Russia than we do the atheistic cabal of lesbian, gay, transgender, transhumanism, rainbow flag, bug eating, climate change worshiping, purple haired freaks with multiple tattoos that vote for Joe Biden because he's the walking zombie of idiot Democrat politics. So they all know that. They all despise Biden. They all love Trump. So I found myself in very favorable settings and environment. And I just wanted to impress upon them that the best Americans are Americans for peace and stability and sanity. And I think I was successful at that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. No, I subscribe to your Patreon, and I see you have all the pictures and so forth. We're in Moscow. It looked beautiful there. I know what Tucker was, you know, showing off there, the subway system and so forth. Beautiful, beautiful. I mean, no bums, no, you know, trash. It's like, you know, what we'd like to see everywhere. I know it must be very frustrating for you, you know, to come back to San Francisco and see that city crumble. What are your thoughts on the parallels and the differences between the two cultures right now?
Yeah, well, I'd communicated actually with Tucker when he was flying back and I was flying over. We were sort of crossing in the sky, and we talked a little bit about our original meeting in San Francisco 5 or 6 years ago. And he said, "Oh yeah, I remember you. I remember." And I went in to talk a little bit about it. But he had essentially the same experience. He loved the city. He loved the cleanliness of it. He commented on it too. And we both are around the same age. So, you know, his reflections on how 1985 was an idyllic time in American history. You and I share the same attitude. We've talked about it. 1985 was the pinnacle of America's power and prestige and the greatest time to be alive. We had clean cities. We had law and order. We had an economy of prosperity. We were not on this juggernaut of endless war in the American empire. We had little skirmishes here and there, but a far different condition existed in 1985 that exists now. So, you know, his experience and mine were the similar, you know, and going to Moscow, I was at the Four Seasons. I saw he, that's right in the center of the Kremlin area. So you've got the Kremlin, you've got Red Square, you've got all these old buildings. And it really does look like Santa's, you know, enchanted world. Everything's lit up, lights everywhere. I mean, lights like Christmas trees and snowflakes and these elaborate patterns of artistic design that is just absolutely beautiful. There's no graffiti anywhere. There's no paper cups or straws or napkins on the ground. There's no litter. There's no crime. There's no homeless people. There's no police, really, other than oddly, you know, maybe now and then you'll see one or two, but you don't see the presence, you know, you do in America. I mean, it's quite an amazing place, but it shouldn't surprise us because it's a tribal place. It's not the Soviet Union. It's not the socialist communist rule. It is a Christian Orthodox czarist mentality. And it's been moved from into more of a tribalistic czarist mentality because of the persecutions that have emanated out of the United States and their proxy NATO. And we've seen that for 20 years with the slow encroachment, the slow infection of the former communist Soviet Union states, the Baltic states, whether it's Latvia, Lithuania, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, splitting the, you know, Czechoslovakia. Remember, it used to be Czechoslovakia. Now it's the Czech Republic versus Slovakia. You know, all of these things that we've done since 1990 have done nothing good for the United States, not anything good. It's created a tension, an alienation, and a hostility. And now we're seeing, you know, the inevitability of that is failure, because what we planned, what we designed, and what our Machiavellian strategists at the CIA and some of these other places, including the idiots at the top levels of the Congress and the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Turner is another clown. All of these fools have been wrapped up in the pathological obsession of somehow crippling Russia, taking apart its political regime, overthrowing President Putin, and then somehow you're going to create some vassal state that just turns over its $800 trillion in resources to the United States? I don't think so. They fought against Genghis Khan and Napoleon and Hitler and the Poles and, you know, everyone else for 500 years. This is nothing new. So we've done nothing but completely miscalculate the Russian mind, the Russian population, the Russian history. And we totally misunderstand the Ukrainian-Russian relationship and the Ukrainian history of with Russia, and you know, that whole region is you know, has been one people since before borders and fences and you know, country dividing lines were created. So I would just say you know, there's a lot to be appreciative of Russia. And, you know, I hear some of these silly things like, well, they don't have all freedom of speech. Well, if you're calling the absence of faggot flags and rainbow banners and gay parades where men whip each other in leather, you know, flagellating whips and parade little children in front of them for subtle, indirect sexual suggestion of pedophilia, if you're saying that's a political expression that we have in America that they don't have in Russia, I'll take Russia every time, twice on Sunday, because that kind of behavior and that kind of demonstration and expression is not political speech. It's evil. It's sexual predation. It's perversion. It's corruption. It's stupidity. It's demonism. So some of these things that, you know, Tucker's and others are a little bit ignorant of, well, they don't have complete freedom of speech. Well, thank God, because if they allowed that garbage to come into their society, it would have the same effect that it did on American society, a slow, toxic blood poisoning that leads to the inevitable collapse of the nation, which is what we're facing right now, because there's no real men anywhere in the American political ranks or the American media ranks or the American military ranks. We are at the fall of Rome, where every male in America seems to be wearing a wig, pretending they're wearing breasts and calling themselves a female name.
Yeah, that's true. Now we know that basically this Nazi empire type situation has taken over most of the world, and the Russians are basically fighting back on that. Now a lot of us underlying this, former military and good patriots and good families and so forth throughout the world still are seeing this. At some point, we have to throw these shackles off that these people have put on us. Now, Russia's done a real good job of that. They were pretty much in those shackles themselves in the Soviet Union, and now they've thrown them off, and now they're free from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, empire thought that they were going to crush Russia by taking them off the SWIFT system, but Russia has basically done much better, and now they're like a juggernaut with their military machine, and basically anything that gets in front of it is going to get ground up, like it's happening right now in Ukraine, with all of NATO throwing everything they can at that. M1 Abrams tanks now being destroyed, so everything's getting chewed up as the Russians are basically going to probably this summer roll across most of Ukraine, take over Odessa and a lot of other places that basically is going to just isolate Ukraine much more. What are the people there in Russia? What do they say as far as like Americans and America? Because there is a difference.
Well, yeah, they do recognize that, Mike. They do appreciate the American people, the American effervescence of personality, the American uniqueness. We do have a quality in our disposition that no one else has. The John Wayne, optimistic, happy warrior, the Ronald Reagan sort of joy. There's a confidence and an enthusiasm and a happiness that you and I grew up with, Tucker grew up with. Anyone who's over the age of 50, I would say. Anyone under the age of 40, 35, I feel sorry for, because you didn't come from our generation and see and learn what we did. There's always exceptions, but also for the most part, those under 30 or 35, I even say under 40, to an extent, I consider them roadkill. I consider them completely devoid of any of the real deeper skills of judgment, discretion, discrimination, prejudicial, analysis, things that are essential for understanding your own identity, the identity of others, and being able to chart a course of success in the world. It requires judgment. It requires discrimination. It requires prejudice. What do you want to eat versus what you don't want to eat? Things like that. We've gotten so toxic and deformed in our minds and philosophically confused with wokeism and political correctness, and there is no right, there is no wrong, 2 + 2 = 5, and it's racist to say anything other than that. That's devilish evil right out of the pit of hell, as far as I'm concerned, because there's no truth in that. If there's no truth, then there's nothing but lies and death and madness, and that's what you see America morphing into. That's what the Russians see behind the political choices, and they wonder with bafflement how this could happen to America. But they're not so aggressive as to intercede or engage directly. This is not a Putin thing. It's a whole Russian disposition, Russian temperament, Russian culture thing. They don't engage on that level. They're not as confrontational as we are in the West on all sorts of levels. It's like the Asians. They're not really that confrontational either. We are, being Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, it's something in us. But the Russian people like the American people. They like Donald Trump too. They're always saying Trump, Trump. So there's no liking of Biden. And they don't generate any hostility, however, either, Mike, because I was amazed that I wasn't getting more negative, hostile reaction from people who had been wounded in the war or whose relatives, had lost a son or something. I never had anyone express any sort of animosity or vengeance for suffering in this war, which they have every right to, because it is American weapons that are being supplied to the Ukrainians that are hurting, killing, and maiming the Russians. And even Elon Musk and his Starlink that he's providing to the Ukrainians, which he's lying to the American people about when he says he's not providing any military capabilities. He is. He is providing military capabilities. And the Russian soldiers have showed that. They've demonstrated how the Starlink capability and the drones is enabling these drones to drop chemical weapons and other weapons on Russian troops and civilian targets. So that's a war crime right then and there. And Elon Musk is culpable to that because his Starlink program is providing it. So don't lie to me and call, you know, shit chocolate pudding. It's not. And also I see, you know, the whole Keystone Cop group of European leaders is now falling apart. So Victoria Nuland has just resigned. She'll be leaving in a couple weeks. Olaf Scholz is probably going to resign because of this recent disclosure of the two stupid German Air Force officers talking about bombing the Crimean Bridge a second time with Taurus missiles. You know, and Verbach is, they're trying to position her to replace Scholz, and she's full of, you know, we need to give Ukraine everything. Nothing is going to win the war. Nothing's going to help Ukraine. You've got basically three men left, and you've got hundreds of thousands of shells that the West wants to get to Ukraine. Well, who's going to fire them? You got three men left, and even these three guys are very exhausted. That's the state of Ukraine's military. It's not a military anymore. It's now a ragtag group of people that have been kidnapped, dragged off the streets, thrown into, you know, a dirty uniform with an old weapon and told go to the front lines and, you know, somehow turn back the Russian military. It's not going to happen. So Russia, I don't think is going to go trailblazing slaughterhouse. They've never wanted to kill the Ukrainian people because they consider them Slavics. They're intermarried. They're intercultural. They've been Slavic, Russia, Ukrainian for 500 years. So the Russians have told that to me too. So, you know, Mr. Bennett, we don't want to kill Ukrainians. They're Russian. They're Slavic like us. They honestly look at them like the prodigal son that's gone off and lured by the West. They were lured by Obama and Biden and the promise of wealth in the EU. And yeah, you can join the EU and you'll be a part of NATO and join the party and it'll all be fun. And Zelensky can endlessly play the piano with his penis and everybody will celebrate him. All of that has turned out to be just a lie. And Ukraine, 500,000 are dead as a result of Boris Johnson specifically. But Boris Johnson, Joe Biden, Angela Merkel, Cameron, Sarkozy, Liz Truss, now Olaf Scholz, Justin Trudeau, all of these scumbags have been responsible for the damage in Ukraine. Not Russia. Russia went into Ukraine to save the people from Donetsk, who had been genocided and bombed and attacked for 10 years. They had been attacked since 2014. And finally, Russia went in to stop the genocide of those people. That's not an invasion. That's not an aggression. That's not Putin looking to conquer territory. That's not Russia with ambitions against the European Union. They're not going to invade Berlin or Paris or anything like that. That's Russia saying, if you don't stop these maniacs from killing Russians and making the Russian language illegal, we're going to go in and stop them. And that's exactly what they did. So I'm not pro-Putin or pro-Russian or pro-anything. I'm pro-truth. And I hate liars and lies and fools. So I will always stand up just for the truth and adapt where need be. But we must only and always stand on the truth of every matter. And it's got nothing to do with America or American policy or our strategic, well, you know, this is the strategy of the White House, the strategy of the State Department, the strategy of the CIA. All their strategies are worthless because they're idiots. They don't know what they're doing. And I'll say it with authority because I've been successful. When I've gone over on diplomatic, ambassadorial sort of missions, I'm well received. I'm embraced. I'm listened to by people like Zakharova, by people like politicians and media figures in Russia. So I always look to my opportunities to interface with them as an opportunity to present the best American mind and the best American face and the best American hopes and dreams that we can have. And it's meant to plant seeds. It's meant to plant affection. It's meant to plant opportunities for growth and healing and relationship after this dark age. And that's really what we're in. We're in a dark age where America is about to fall. And I've said this too over there. We're in our own perestroika. We're in our own revolution where 25 states are rejecting federalism, rejecting democracy, rejecting it coming out of Biden's mouth because he's not a Democrat. It's not about democracy. It's about authoritarianism. And the Democrat fascist authoritarianism is coming from Biden and Gavin Newsom and all these other governors who are trying to get everybody vaccinated with a death shot, everybody eating bugs, everybody worshiping the environment, everybody living in 15-minute cities, and no one challenging the results of a stolen election. And, you know, I gave them a few different books to help educate them on the election fraud, on the tactics of authoritarianism that the Obama administration have been pursuing. And, you know, I think we're about to turn a corner. And I think with Donald Trump's ascendancy, hopefully he's smart enough to have better people around him this time, because, you know, the Russian people and the Russian culture are looking for an opportunity to heal all of these wounds, to stop this conflict and, you know, bring things back to normal. And no one in Europe and no one in America wants that. They're incapable of backtracking and saying, you know what, we kind of screwed this up. We made a mistake. Let's just move on and see if we can fix things going forward. No one's talking like that. They're all invested in a poker game that they don't have any good cards on and they don't have any good chips in. They're going to lose. As McGregor said, we have a dead man's hand, while Russia has a strong hand, and it's an impossibility that we have anything other than defeat. So therefore, why don't we go in and make, a compromised diplomatic settlement that at least saves some face on some levels?
Yeah, I've seen some of Scott Ritter's work. He does a commentary, and it's very insightful. He went to Crimea, and he talked about how with Crimea, basically, like Dumba said, hey, we don't want any more of this, basically. The Ukrainians really came down hard on them. Their agriculture was, pretty much dependent on a water source that came from Ukraine. They dammed it up. Yep. And he talked about that and how now during this war, basically blew that dam up. Now they're getting that water back. They turned off the electricity, but they suffered for a long time. Yeah. And I like that, we might see the German chancellor, go bye-bye because some of his officers were talking out of line and it got caught. I think a lot more of this is happening, like Victoria Nuland. I wonder who's going to replace her. You know, she was so CIA. I mean, I couldn't believe how CIA she was. Yeah. When I worked for the CIA, we always used the embassies and consulates and so forth to move in and out of. We never had anybody in the State Department that was affiliated with us, other than we told them what we were doing and they said, okay, but we'll be over here, you guys do your thing. Yeah. I can't believe they put somebody in the State Department at such a high level. That's another collapse of our foundations, because the State Department is supposed to be for people overseas. Basically, this is America. You want to come to America, we get your visa and come in, we'll help you become a citizen and all that. That's what they're for, to basically be out there to show how great America is. And now it's become like just this horrible, thing that all of America has become horrible. Mm-hmm. And it all has to collapse. So I don't know if Victoria Nuland is going to be replaced by someone in the State Department or if that's just now getting taken out. What are your thoughts on that? And I see that diary of an American officer. We'll definitely have to put that link in there. I'll watch that later. That looks fabulous. Good job.
Oh, well, if you haven't seen it, yeah, you need to watch that, because that was the actual film that the RT documentary team did in Soledar, in Donbass. And you see my I will go around with a camera and I'm interviewing people and I'm taking photographs of all the devastation that's being done by American weapons on civilian targets and stuff. And I'm, you know, talking to the soldiers. I'm out there on my own front line, and, you know, there's mines everywhere. And I mean, it was a war zone. And, you know, I walked away going, wow, this is a terrible crime against humanity that the American Congress needs to immediately stop. Otherwise, you're aiding and abetting it. Now, I know that sounds, Pollyanna-ish about, well, you know, America's doing this in Gaza. Yeah, we are, but it doesn't make it right. It needs to be stopped. And, you know, otherwise, our entire reputation and our nation is going to go down. But the film is very, very good. They did a very good job at it. I agree with you, Mike. The State Department has lost all of its integrity. And it's very sad because that was an agent. And I worked at the State Department. I was working there under Ambassador Del Daley, who was general of JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command, before he made him ambassador. And, you know, it was a different, yeah, we had a lot of CIA guys that were around and doing stuff. But the State Department was still meant to be where the polished, educated, multilingual country experts that knew the country inside and out could be used as America's interface to those countries. And we have abandoned that for empire, for some sort of Romanesque, this is what you're going to do. We're the centurions and you're all under our sandaled boot. Well, that doesn't work. And it's never worked. And it's now ending in a climactic crash where all of the southern border is being invaded with not one military officer from Northern Command that is supposed to have the integrity of the continental United States under their jurisdiction. Where's the Northern Command military giving reports and taking action to defend against an invasion into the continental United States? That's what's happening. And it's being done by domestic enemies. Joe Biden is a domestic enemy of the United States. He's not the president. He's in violation of the Constitution. He's aiding and abetting the invasion of America. And the Texas governor has asserted that in his declaration of Texas being in a state of emergency due to an invasion. He's not saying we're in a declaration of emergency because we've got an apple worm that's destroying our apple crops. He's saying we're in a state of emergency because we're being invaded from every third world person from Central and South America and the Caribbean and elsewhere in other countries, China included. So therefore, the military and the guard should be down there with guns and tanks and helicopters and full automatic weapons and barbed wire and stopping overnight this invasion. You have to shoot a few people? Fine. You have to kill a few people? Fine. You have to kill 1,000? Fine. You have to kill 10,000? Fine. Because the only thing that matters is the protection of the continental United States against an invasion. And the Constitution was meant for that. There's a time for peace and a time for war. And a time for war is when you're being invaded by a bunch of savages that are going to come in and kill your mother, steal your house, rape your daughter, and take everything you have. That's on the minds of some of these people coming in. That's on the minds of some of the people bringing them in. And that's on the minds of people like Dick Durbin, who said he'll put them all in military uniform. Really? So you're going to put them in military uniform and then what? Declare some sort of a national emergency in the United States because Kamala Harris has been executed by someone who resembles a MAGA hat? Or Zelensky and Biden have been killed after that, and you're going to call it being done by a Russian? So Gavin Newsom or whoever they pop up, maybe the bonobo Michael Lebon Robinson, also known as Michelle Obama, pops up. You're going to try and declare a martial law over America, and because you've got a Cheshire grin, Mr. Newsom, and a lanyard, that Americans are going to obey you and stay inside and get their COVID booster vax? I don't think so. So the Democrat delusion of being able to establish a tyrannical, hypnotic, absolute power control over Americans, like somehow the governor or the president is the Wizard of Oz, that's pure fantasy and delusion, and that is quickly evaporated as the right to keep and bear arms comes into bear for citizens defending themselves against this sort of tyranny. So the more I look at it, the more I see the states around the country breaking up into independent grouping, the republics of America. That's the other thing we need to re-identify ourselves and redefine ourselves as. The republics of America, the Republic of Texas, the Republic of California, the Republic of Idaho, the Republic of Florida, the Republic of New Jersey. That's what we are when we're given a Republican form of government. Let's get smart and apply the form of government and the philosophy of our political lawmaking to our political and philosophical and legal identity. When you're given a Republican form of government, you are a republic. You're not a state, so call yourself a republic. And therein lies all the governance of a republic. And that's what Luhansk and Donetsk and Crimea all are, too. They're republics. They did the same thing the Americans did in 1776. Hey, we're not going to be subject to the tyranny of the British Empire. We're the Republic of America. And we're going to, then they settled into the, you know, the United States of America, but they were all republics. Well, that's what these areas of Ukraine did. They were not going to recognize a Nazi Gestapo Hitlerian far-right government that was brought in 2014 as a result of a coup and snipers from Georgia and the Maidan being burned down. Those areas that were being told, you will no longer speak Russian, you will only speak Ukrainian. Well, that's like someone telling me and you, Mike, you can't speak English, you have to speak Appalachian. What the hell's Appalachian? It's some obscure dialect that's up in the Appalachian Mountains of Kentucky or wherever that maybe three people talk. Well, that's what they were equivalent doing to the Russian people in the Ukrainian area. So they all said, no, we're going to be the independent Republic of Donetsk and Donbass and Luhansk. They didn't fight. They didn't throw grenades. They didn't shoot anybody. They just declared that they were independent republics because they weren't going to go along with this coup d'etat election that Victoria Nuland brought in. And because they didn't go along with it, they were subjected to attacks and genocide. That's the one thing I have one of many issues with Donald Trump, because he gave Poroshenko the weapons. He didn't give them. He said, we're not giving them blankets and pillows anymore. We're giving them weapons. OK, so you just admitted to kicking off this football game of conflict, Mr. Trump, because you're giving them weapons. That's a problem. And it became a problem because Poroshenko then said, our children will be in schools, their children will be in basements. What do you got to say about that, Mr. Trump? He said it when he came and shook your hand in the White House. So, yeah, you have to say, basically, I screwed that up. I messed that up. I had bad people around me. Fine. Don't do it again. How do you fix this situation? And don't be subservient to the military-industrial complex. And don't love your life more than your service to your country. You know that, Mike. When you went to the military, you didn't love your life. You went to serve and sacrifice if need be, not foolishly, not recklessly, but you joined knowing full well that you may be called upon to fight to the death in the battles of the United States. We all did that. But Donald Trump did that too when he became president. Don't shy away from it. This, the role of the president, or the commander-in-chief, is not a political dance. It's not a political TV show. It is a fight to preserve family, natural law, righteousness, our healthy economy. That does not mean going around and doing overthrows and government revolutions and all sorts of military industrial conquests, whether it be in Africa or Afghanistan or elsewhere. All of that has ruined our reputation and our dollar. So, the weaponization of the dollar is another factor. All of these things have been self-inflicted, and it may come to a very crashing end very, very soon. But out of the fires of this tumult, I think you will have a new resurrected America. It won't resemble what it was before, I don't think. It has to resemble the newly organized republics where conservatives and traditional family values people form communities and counties and states with laws that reflect their family values and their spiritual values, and they will not entertain anything that's antagonistic to it. And they won't accept creative, colorful constitutional reinterpretations to say, well, the gay flag in your high school is a form of freedom of speech. No, it's not. And anybody who tries to put it up is going to be hung and tarred and feathered. That's where we're going. Because people, are done with this. This is This is a form of mental brain surgery that they have been doing on the American children to purposefully brainwash a generation, to turn them into sodomites, to turn them into nihilists, to turn them into people with no sense of moral absolutes, right or wrong, to turn them into antagonistic against God, to turn them against parents, going to Russia and then coming back, I can tell you the degree of toxicity in our culture and entertainment and our general disposition is quite remarkable. When they block out certain films and they block out smoking and things like that for moral reasons. And, it's significant. So it's important for people to get out beyond the United States to, and I know you have better than anyone, because that getting out of the United States gives you tremendous wisdom, and with wisdom, you acquire tremendous humility too.
Right. Now, you've also been to Iran. You have a really good rapport with the Iranians, and you understand that culture exceptionally well. Now, we have the United States obviously pushing hard on Iran, hitting targets in Syria and other places. You know, the Yemenis. I was in Yemen for many years, and I saw my comrades in the ground branch training the Yemenis to basically fight, the negative groups that we were against. And now I see them using those tactics. So it's very frustrating. I'm sure that happened in Ukraine as well, if not maybe even still going on. What do you think is going to happen with Iran? Are we going to continue to push on them until we actually start bombing Iran?
Well, it would be the worst mistake that we ever did, because we're not going against just Iran. We're going against Russia and China and Turkey and Pakistan and to some degree India. No one in that neighborhood is going to support any destabilization of Iran. You're talking about a country that's roughly about the size of the United States, maybe a little bit smaller. But the Persian people are incredibly intelligent and have designed their own military and missile systems, despite the economic sanctions and the conditions we've tried to put them in for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They've evolved in a remarkable way. So the entire experience, of course, we all know there's a certain jocular fulfillment. Okay, military guys go over, and then we train the Yemens, we train these people. Yeah, we fight, we train, we do all this stuff. You know, that's kind of an energetic, experience, and it's all hoo-ah and fun and games and stuff like that. But that's on a very surface level. The next thing is the application of those skills and that knowledge into a kinetic opportunity, a kinetic scenario, and that's what we have right now. But the kinetic scenario, the context of this, is one that the United States is clearly on the wrong side of history. The United States is seen as an aggressor, not just an aggressor, but a killer and a tormentor of women and children. These are the contextual lines that define the conflict and the political reality there. We are not going down into Grenada to rescue some poor American, nursing students that were on the island. I remember that story. There's a degree of heroism to that, you know. The same thing they tried to say in Panama. Well, we're going down to do that. And, you know, we didn't have the internet. No one knew what was going on, but the story sounded good. There's no good story here, Mike. There's no good story for American doing anything in the Israeli conflict situation, and that's the only thing that's animated the Yemeni forces. So we have to look at everything from the context of reality, and this is something that the United States is fighting on a slippery slope, looking uphill, and we're sliding and grinding because the earth beneath us is just crumbling. We have nothing solid to stand on. And anyone who has a brain with military experience and political experience will recognize that. McGregor and others are the foremost authorities that I think McGregor is good because he's got the historical, academic side, and he's 73 years old. That's very important. But right now, the United States is aiding and abetting Israel to kill and smash and destroy and starve the Palestinian Gaza people. not wage war against Gaza, guerrillas shooting and fighting behind walls, and you know this insurgent fight. That's not what we're funding. That's not what we're given weapons for. That's not what we're given radar technology and all the other support. We're helping the Israelis destroy civilians, women and children, 30,000 of them, not men in uniform. So right there, we are broadcasting to the world, we're hypocrites, we're not moderate, we're not neutral, we're not the Abraham Accords or the Oslo Accords a neutrality party anymore. We're now giving Israel, as admitted by many in the Congress, that I was very disgusted by. You know, I hear Jim Jordan, I hear, all the Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene included, all of them. Oh, we have to give all the weapons and the money to Israel now instead of Ukraine. Well, that's not smart. There's nothing. In fact, in many regards, it's worse. And you're just throwing your adoration at Israel for what? For what value and interest to the American people and the American reputation? None. But you're what are you, compromised? You've been videotaped with a little boy or a little animal? What's going on, Marjorie? What's going on, Jim Jordan? What's going on, Gates and Josh Hawley and all these guys that I agree with on certain domestic policies, but when it comes to the foreign policy in Israel, these lunatics are just throwing everything to say Israel needs to defend itself. From what? October 7th, that everybody's now looking at as a false flag because basically it's impossible to look away for 7 hours. Anybody that's been working on the IDF security line has said that. When I worked in the IDF, nothing got through. Everybody knew it. This whole thing seems very, very suspicious. And then you add to that the instability of Netanyahu's political regime. So it makes sense that he's created a war to kind of hitch his lifeboat to. This isn't a war now. You've now been busted by the International Court of Justice as committing war crimes. So now it's going to go to the United Nations. It's going to go to others. And it's going to go beyond the United Nations to say, these are war crimes. These are crimes against humanity. This is creating a genocide. You're starving these people. You're killing them for murder reasons. Is the world going to allow that? And is the United States going to jump out of that and start attacking Iran? For what? For providing weapons to Lebanon or the Hamas groups? Because for the last 20, 30 years, they've been oppressed, they've been enslaved, they've been arrested. How many thousands of their people have been thrown in jail? You have to look at both sides of the ledger to determine what the truth is about who's been doing what they owe. And when you look at what Israel has done to a basically unarmed, banana republic people, you know, it's like the United States going down to Costa Rica and doing a genocide, doing an enslavement of the people. That's not fair. And that's what Israel has done. And they did it in 1948 when they went in with the Nakba and all sorts of other stuff. So I don't see any fear in Iran. I don't see them waging war against the United States. I don't see them wanting to trigger a war. Neither does Russia, neither does China. They don't want to trigger anything. But I think the United States has got to trigger something. They're desperate to find someone to pull the trigger so they can escape their own domestic political implosion. And you see the fear of this on faces like Rishi Sunak, who just about quivered his lip and popped tears out of his eyes and wet his pants when the Scottish guy was just elected to Parliament. George Galloway. So George Galloway, who's a pretty fiery individual, who came to the Congress, I think it was 2003, and lambasted them over Iraq. George Galloway's just been elected to Parliament in Britain, and he's going to open up this whole front. And you could see a cascade effect where everybody who's being elected are those coming up saying, stop NATO, stop these wars, stop Ukraine, no more fighting against Russia. Let's go back to sanity and let's get rid of these Klaus Schwab, George Soros, New World Order types that are trying to dominate the world with Monsanto and population reduction and homosexuality and climate change and vaccines and all this other stuff. That's where the farmers are rising up in Amsterdam and elsewhere. And I'll tell you this, Mike, I think the farmers in America and Europe are being loved more than their military. because the military is no longer doing a hero's job. The military is now murdering women and children. Now the military is secretly on the side of Ukraine, on the side of Nazis. And I saw some of the victims of the Russian side to the Ukrainian Nazi terrorist. A woman had been captured, raped, and killed. A brand put on her stomach in the shape of a swastika. They branded her. And then they cut her stomach in the shape of a swastika and killed her.
Jesus.
That's what the Ukrainians do with American dollars and American weapons and American attaboys. Not me.
Yeah, it's the mindset. You know, the mindset has basically been compromised there in Ukraine, and I think in Israel. So I can't believe this is true, but I'm looking at this one article where it says 89% of our senators in Congress hold dual citizenship with Israel. It doesn't make any sense.
That's
why they're going to vote for the Nazis in Israel to continue their genocide campaign. When they get done with Gaza, they're probably going to start going up into, duke it out with Hamas and not Hamas, but Hezbollah. So Hezbollah will kick their butt like we've talked about.
Yeah,
they got kicked back, sent back across the border, many years ago. And they said, yeah, we won. You guys didn't win. You got your butts kicked. You're going to go poke that line again. You're going to get like ate up. So will freak off the rest of the Arabs. The Arabs will just like Turkey and all of them will come together then because they see this is an existential threat.
Yeah,
they're going to come in and they're going to like annihilate the Israelis. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you're exactly right. The Israeli mind has been blinded with arrogance and hubris. Larry Summers and others have described it with a bafflement that they just can't understand how the Israelis could be so insane. But they're Israelis. I'd say they're naturally insane. They're insane with arrogance and this presumption of being a chosen people of what? Of Talmudist perversion and boy rapists that we've seen in the Chabad Lubavitch in New York and all the other garbage. First of all, you're not Semitic peoples. The Semitic peoples are the Palestinians. You're a bunch of Khazarian, Ashkenazi, Edomite, Nephilim mafia that have come down and forcibly planted yourself there for some abomination. I remember when I was in Iran, there was a lot of Jewish people living there. They had their own seats in parliament in Iran. They never had any problems. The Iranians are not persecutors of Christians or Jews. That's the great lie. And that's the great lie that always comes to mind when I talk to people is, look, I've been there. I've seen the people. I've met them. And there's no animosity or desire for conquest or empire building. Those are projections that we in the America, in the United States, put on others. Well, we have to go fight them before they fight us here. You're presuming that they want to fight you. Well, we have to go destroy them before they destroy us. Whoa, wait a minute. You're projecting onto another people, another culture, with their own history and values and tribalism and spiritual sensitivities, your absence of all those things. What does America have as a culture? Nothing. It's an America. It's an economic culture. Yes, you have pockets of mom, baseball, apple pie. Yes, you've got areas that some people who have lived here for over hundreds of years have roots, in Ohio, Missouri, or we've been here since the Revolution. That's good. But they have slowly tried to eradicate and destroy the deep roots of America. The Irish parades, the Polish parades, the German parades, the Scottish Highland Games I always go to. Yeah, we're American, but we're also Scottish, and we celebrate our unique culture as Scottish in the Scottish Highland Games. And it takes you back to the tradition and the history of the Scottish and the Games. Those are good things. That's what makes us a strong nation, is when you have that particular cultural affection. And it doesn't mean you forget America in any way. America is the soil in which you've grown, and it's the healthiest soil for any truly blossoming human being. But lately, we've allowed that soil to get poisoned with all forms of anti-family, no-fault divorce, corruption, homosexuality, transgenderism. What else can you call it when you operate on little boys, cut off their penises, cut off the little girls' breasts, and say now you can call yourself a boy or a girl and run in a girl's race or participate in a girl's, you know, athletic activity? To beat out all the girls because the guy who just cut off his penis is saying, you know, he's 6'5" and he can beat everybody on the basketball court, but because he changes his name and wears a dress that's somehow he's a woman, you know, that's insanity. And that's what's been afflicted in the American culture. And unless it is violently, violently thrown out, and if by the most extreme ways possible, unless it is shown absolute no tolerance, this cancer, this infection, you know, will only continue and get worse. It has to be burned out. And there's nothing polite or tolerant about allowing a cancer or a sickness to remain in the body. It has to be purged. That's what life's all about, is life and life abundantly. You know, the tolerance I've seen in California, this tolerance of liberal, you know, Democrat softening, that's destroyed San Francisco over 30, 40 years. It's a complete ruin now. So there's a lot of things I think that are going to be happening. I don't think war with Iran or Russia or China is one of them. I do see the first step, Ukraine losing this, and Russians going all the way to Kiev, all the way to the Polish border. They're going to take Odessa. Odessa is a Russian city anyway, and then they're going to stop. And they're going to basically kick out all the Western nations and say, we don't want anything to do with the EU ambassadors or any other EU. You know, there's no purpose of talking to you anymore. You're so hostile against Russia with Russophobia. That's what they're going to think. And they're going to do the same thing to, I think, Israel. Every nation on earth, unless they're sold out or a slave to the United States, I could see a lot of these African and Asian nations expelling the Israeli ambassador, the Israeli consulate, the Israeli embassy, and expelling people with Israeli passports because, you know, they're a symbolic, you know, expression of what the other nations of the world can't tolerate. They can't tolerate genocide. And that's the only thing that the Yemenis are asking for is for aid trucks, aid ships, aid food to be delivered to the Palestinian people. The only thing the Yemenis are asking for is do not lure people in to get food and then shoot them in the back. That's what's been happening.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy. So I've seen on Judge Napolitano, he's got some awesome guests. He has Colonel McGregor on there quite a bit. So, you know, we're all Scottish, so I love that. So, but he's got this one guy he's had on just recently, Matthew Van Dyke. And this guy was like a bomb squad guy that was basically helping the Ukrainians, probably trained in America, you know, paid and to go out there and help out. But he went over to the Ukrainians. And I remember he was very soft spoken, you know, he was you could tell he was pro Korean, and maybe he had a Ukrainian wife, I don't know. But he was pro Ukrainian, and he always talked, you know, that he was probably going to go over and help out because there was a lot of you know, former military that went in and helped out. So he's in there now. So he's been out of sight for a long time. I haven't seen him for a long time, and he was just on a few weeks ago. Now this another guy he has on is Patrick Lancaster, who's basically reports on Donbass.
Yeah, I've seen
him. So, did you meet him while you were there?
No, I didn't meet him, but I've seen him.
Yeah, he does a great job. I love following him.
I met Russell Bentley when I was over there. Russell Bentley's a former Special Forces guy, nice guy, built like a tank. And I met a few other people that were there. I did meet, too, John Mark Dugan, remember the Marine in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
That got out just in time. He's a funny guy and nice guy. I met him when I was in Moscow, and you know, I met a few other very interesting people.
Nice, but this Matthew Van Dyke, you could see he transformed because Judge Napolitano asked him about Patrick Lancaster basically reporting on the shelling and innocent civilians being killed, and there was no you know, military targets anywhere. And Van Dyke just like, well, you know, there's, you know, that happens in Ukraine too. And So, of course, that happens, but that's because they're trying to shoot down Russian missiles, and they go off target when they're shot at. So he didn't go into that, but he asked me, he said, well, would you be up for having a discussion with Patrick Lancaster? And he went full Nazi. He said, no way that he would be accepted anywhere in Kyiv. I was like, wow. And Judge Napolitano, after he got done, he's like, he even shook his head. It's like, wow. He said the same thing. But it's that Nazization that's happening everywhere that we have to overcome. So appreciate you coming on and sharing all the stuff that you've done. How can people reach you?
Well, you can go to destroy-cancer.com, and we have the links to Global Freedom TV and other shows. Sometimes they block the links if you type it separately, but if you go to destroy-cancer.com, we've got our links to our Patreon page, patreon.com/shellgame, or globalfreedomtv.com. The Destroy Cancer, of course, is what we put up there for people with cancer or as a preventative. I just used it a second time, and I had another big skin scab of cancer come off, and it's teaching me in today's society, these cancers are, you know, they're like a perennial thing. It's like plucking up weeds, and, you know, the second time I've used it in a year, it killed this cancer, and it came right out of my back. I've got another video of it. I mean, it's kind of grotesque to watch, but we're in a time where a lot of the shedding, I think, is going to have an amplification effect on cancers. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that we're going to be dealing with that more and more, to me, the Indian black salve is something that is a supreme immune booster and a supreme corrosive to artificial fibers and cells in the body. Cancer, or the fibrosis substance that the COVID-19 manufactures in the form of blood clots. So I tell people, get this if you can, get it now before FDA shuts it down, because we're in a time you need to prepare. You need to get everything intact, because we're not afraid of anything that comes, Mike. We'll always be in control, and America will never end as long as we're walking on the soil, you and I, and others, of course, too. Because we hold the American oath and the Constitution sacred. We will never allow that to be ruined. When I got back from Russia, I went right up to the customs office, and of course they stopped me, right? They stopped my passport, and I anticipated a very hostile, violent reaction. I anticipated an excoriating environment because of this film, because, you know, basically it blows up the entire neocon narrative in Ukraine. And I got to the borders and the customs people, and they took me into this room and said, okay, we'd like to ask you a question. I said, I don't answer any questions. My attorney's outside. You can pose them to him. I don't allow my bags to be searched. That's a violation of my rights. I have nothing to say. I'm ready to go. Well, we haven't asked you anything, and I'm not going to answer anything either. Thank you very much. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm not answering any questions. I affirm all of my rights. They said, have a nice day.
Nicely done. Good job. Wow. I don't have to remember that.
Never answer a question. Never answer a question. With all due respect, I don't answer any questions. You can pose them to my attorney, but I won't answer any questions. I affirm all of my rights. And you can always pull out your phone and say, be advised, I'm recording myself. I've given the customs officer notice. I'm not going to be answering any questions. I do not permit them to search my baggage. Any such search or questioning would be a violation of my person and my constitutional inalienable rights. Thank you very much. You've recorded it. You've memorialized it for a legal piece of evidence in the event that they try and amplify it and try and do something. And, well, we're going to search it anyway. Oh, here we go. Here, I've given you notice that that's a violation of my rights. And if the judge rules in my favor, now you're going to be liable to a $20 million 42 U.S. Code 1983 civil rights violation. Mm. So it's important to know your rights, and it's important to affirm your rights, because we're entering a piece of American history where fanaticism and violence in these Gestapo types may only get worse. And the COVID-19 vaccine is going to be, I think, sadly, making everybody who got it stupid, soft, demented, deformed, and ultimately dim. I think we're entering a massive Alzheimer's dementia moment where people just, you know, are going to lose their minds slowly, like frogs boiling in water slowly. So, you know, maintain your physical integrity. And if you want to be healthy, maintain a distance from those who have gotten the shot. There's no easy way to say it, but, you know, there's all sorts of shedding and things like that that are coming out that only have bad effects on you. But, you know, it's a time to rejoice too, Mike, because look, Donald Trump has been accelerating and winning. And, you know, I have some issues and think some of the stuff he did was stupid, but I always look and say, has he got more positive than negative? Has Tucker got more positive than negative? And they all have more positive. So fine. I'm gonna support, you know, the more positive. Trump's got to have good people around him. That was his problem the first time. He had idiots all around him, and he did a lot of idiotic things. And that can be allowed to happen again, especially, you know, when these idiotic things that he started, giving money and weapons to Ukraine, the Bidens, and they impeached him for asking questions about that, and then they've amplified it, and they've turned... You think about this, Mike, because we didn't fix this when Trump was in office, you have had 500,000 Ukrainian Orthodox Christian men killed by a Zelensky Jewish Zionist Ashkenazi dictator who's a former comedian. 500,000 Ukrainian people killed, and how many others fled up into Europe? America is going to be looked at for causing this and hate it by a lot of Ukrainians, as they're hated by a lot of Iraqis for what happened to Iraq. You know, this, you know, we are about to reap what we've sown, right? All of this wickedness and sin and death that we've sown on the world is coming back to haunt us. Now, we have to cleanse ourselves of it in a repentance, you know, and an admission. That's why it's important to get in front of these things. If anyone charts a course forward for peace and prosperity and safety and mutual harmony, it should be America. Why in God's name are the Chinese able to do it? Because we don't have anybody intelligent enough or humble enough to do it. But we should be doing it. We should be the ones making the deals in Ukraine and Russia before this ever happened. And we should have done it in Gaza to the Israelis. But we're not a nation of integrity because we don't have any government leaders of integrity. We don't have any military leaders of integrity. We don't have any media people of integrity. Tucker Carlson is the closest thing, and even he's a little weak on some of these stuff. He couldn't understand why Putin and the Russians call the Ukrainians Nazis. I almost fell out of my chair. I thought, you dumbass, don't you do your research? They're called Nazis because they do Nazi stuff. I saw the prisoners. I asked them and questioned them, interrogated them. They're covered in Nazi tattoos and Asimov Italian tattoos. They're doing Nazi stuff. They believe firmly in this whole brainwashed MK-Ultra paganistic, you know, we're Ukraine, and this, and the CIA has amplified it since the 1990s. And it's caused these people to demonstrate what you just said, the virulent Nazi attitude about, well, no one would be welcome in Ukraine if they, you know, well, there's not going to be anybody left in Ukraine who's a Nazi. There's not going to be any Ukrainians left. They're all going to be given a choice. Come back to Ukraine and live in peace and harmony with your Slavic cousins, or move to Canada, move to Britain, or move to Germany, but you won't come back to the mother Russia. And that's what I see happening is a reformation of the division of Russia and these traditional family values sort of states. I could even see the Baltic states flipping and coming back because they've all been sold on hatred of Russia because of bags of CIA money. That's not going to last very long. They're about to, I think, turn back, not out of allegiance to anything, but out of a fatigue and a desire to end this bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, bombing of Ukraine, fighting in Russia, fighting in Gaza, fighting in Iraq, fighting in Syria, fighting in Afghanistan, fighting where? Now we're going to go to Taiwan? Is that the next place? I just see the world getting very tired of that very, very quickly. And the politician who make strength through diplomacy and diplomacy through intelligent reason creativeness, those are the ones who are going to win. This era of American force and we're in charge of the world, that's done. That was yesterday's movie.
Wow. Yep. I agree. Well, Scott, thanks a lot. We got your links in the description box, globalfreedomtv.com and Destroy Cancer. I use that as well. It is amazing. So thank you for, promoting that. And always love to have you on and look forward to you coming back on in the future.
My pleasure, Mike, and happy celebration for you and Tracy on your anniversary. May God bless you and keep you healthy and prosperous. And we'll just continue fighting the good fight.
All right, Scott. Lots of love to you and everyone in your family, and look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you so much for listening to Unleashing Intuition Secrets, the podcast. Until next time, stay in the love vibration as you continue your journey to become the master of your reality.